Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Coming to you live. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. There have been a lot of people, a lot more people, showing up in more places with firearms than in years past. Sometimes I believe that is warranted. Sometimes I don't believe that is warranted. Like if you're protesting a lockdown, for example. But I do believe there are times when armed protests make a lot of sense. For example, there are Second Amendment rallies. There are also times when there's reason to believe the other side might show up and try to be violent. So going armed just makes sense. But some don't like any armed protests, regardless of the issue or situation. And they're comparing it to an armed insurrection. And bear in mind that you got to consider the source. Like Josh Horowitz, he's been an American gun control activist for nearly 30 years. In 2009, he co-wrote a book warning that the idea of armed revolt against the government was at the center of the U.S. gun rights movement. Now, after a year that has seen heavily armed men show up at state capitals in Virginia, Michigan, Idaho, and elsewhere to confront Democratic lawmakers over gun control and coronavirus restrictions, more Americans are taking gun owners' rhetoric about tyrants seriously. Some of the same armed protesters who showed up at a Michigan State House and at a pro-gun rally this summer were charged last week with conspiring to kidnap Michigan's governor and put her on trial for tyranny. We're going to talk about that little ditty that's been inserted in this little story shortly. Other members of the Boogaloo movement have allegedly murdered law enforcement officers in California and plotted acts of violence across the country in hopes of sparking a civil war. Horowitz spoke to The Guardian about how mainstream the idea of insurrection has become in American politics and why lawmakers have failed to challenge it for decades. Now, people like Horowitz would expect me to argue that he's wrong, that insurrection is the last thing on anyone's mind, but I'm not going to do that. First of all, the guys that they found in Michigan who were going to kidnap or planned to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer also are against Donald Trump. They are anarchists. Right now, a lot of the same people that you see with Antifa and all these other things, they're showing up armed, too. They're coming out there and pointing guns at people for blocking the road. You know, people just trying to get home. They're blocking the road. And, you know, if you drive your car in the direction you thought you could go home, they're going to pull a gun on you. So there's a big difference between a protest and an insurrection. And the left doesn't know the difference in that. That's part of the problem, although Josh doesn't talk about that. There are obviously some Americans on both the left and right who are ready to wage an offensive war against local, state, and federal governments. And under federal law, insurrection is a crime. But the heart of the Second Amendment is the idea of resistance to tyranny, not insurrection, as Horowitz claims. And to understand just why he's wrong there, you just have to go back to the ideas of the Founding Fathers. The British government, back in 1775, decided it was time to seize munitions from the potentially rebellious colonists. So they marched to Lexington and Concord with the intention of doing that. Instead, the War of Independence began with the first shots fired on Lexington Green as militia members stood in defense of their rights and property. 16 years later, when the Bill of Rights was passed, Americans sought to make sure that could never happen again. Founding fathers believed the government was the kind of thing that we had to have, but we needed to keep it in check as much as possible. They feared standing armies because they knew that such an army could be turned against the people. They wanted the people to have the means to violently resist the federal government if that government began to act tyrannically. Resistance against a tyrannical regime was seen as the last step available to the American people. But we're not talking about self-proclaimed militia members or individual gun owners trying to start a civil war. The founders were not anarchists. James Madison made it clear in Federalist 46 that any successful defense of tyranny would have to involve state and local governments working hand in hand with an armed populace to defend the rights of the people. And just as the founders believed in ordered liberty, they believed that resistance to tyranny should be ordered as well. Today, gun rights advocates hold on to that ideal that an armed citizenry is a check against tyranny. And nowhere in the text does the Second Amendment mention hunting. Now, an argument could be made that the Second Amendment isn't really about individual self-defense, but I don't agree with that interpretation. The Second Amendment is about preserving our freedom, even from the federal government, if necessary. And Josh Horowitz may call it insurrection, much like any would-be tyrant would, but the Founding Fathers called this resistance to oppression. And at the end of the day, that's a feature, not a bug. Now, we are armed. America is armed. The civilian population is armed like no other civilian population anywhere else on the planet. Even with as many gun-free zones and, you know, gun-restrictive states as we have, we are armed. And what the tyrants of today want to do is, and this is the thing that I find so amazing. When they start talking about banning guns, their first presumption is that if they ban guns, you're just simply going to turn them in. That's what Dianne Feinstein said. If I had the votes, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them in. They think that that would just happen. They think that we don't have a say in that. And then the question becomes, well, you don't have a registry. You don't know where most of these guns are. In most of these states where they do have 4473s, which all states have those, but, you know, what do you say? I mean, where it's legal to sell guns to people, what do you say when somebody comes to you and says, where's your gun? Well, I sold it. What's the probable cause going to be to search their house? You're going to go out back with a metal detector and try to see if they buried anything? Is that what you're going to do? What are you going to do? So, you know, the other thing I like is where they talk about the Boogaloo movement that have murdered law enforcement officers in California. This is conflation once again, and this is projection. The left is the violent by default group. In January of last year, when they had the Second Amendment rally in Virginia, which I didn't go to, and I thought it was sort of pointless to go to it, to be honest with you. They should have turned out that way when at election time, at voting time, but they held it. And the pro-gun side that showed up there armed, kitted up, all the battle rattle, when they left it cleaner than when they got there. But it's always about putting the blame on the right. It's always about putting the blame on the conservative. And people who are for gun rights are conservative, without a doubt. There may be the ones that claim to be liberals that are gun owners that are for gun rights. They're very confused to me. They seem to be very confused. So, while I do pay attention to that and I respect some of these opinions I hear, this kind of nonsense is just stupid. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. Thank you.
RTI, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. STIGuns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at aeroprecisionusa.com. You know, one thing I absolutely cannot stand that comes from the left is the idea that only their viewpoint should be allowed to be out in the open. Only their opinion matters. While I served in the military, I served ostensibly to make sure that all opinions mattered, that all viewpoints had value. So here we go. And let's remember some of these times when we've seen police officials bowing and taking a knee to Black Lives Matter. Okay? Remember that, if you will. Coming out of Miami, we have a new political scandal where city council members and Biden supporters are demanding that a Miami police officer be suspended after walking through the city's government center building in uniform and wearing a mask emblazoned with the slogan, Trump 2020, no more bull excrement. And we get this from Twitter from a little twerp named Steve Simeonidis. I don't care if I mispronounce your name, son. Here is tweet. Here it is. Here is at City of Miami Police Officer Daniel Ubeda in full uniform with badge and gun wearing his Trump mask inside of the polling location in Government Center. This is city-funded voter intimidation. Ubeda should be suspended immediately. You guys are afraid of everything, aren't you? You see fear everywhere you go. Absolute total fear. Now, why? Let's go back in time, shall we? Let's go back to 2008. Remember those two thugs that were in front of the Philadelphia? Yeah, they were black. That were outside the Philadelphia polling place with billy clubs and other types of bludgeons, yelling at voters, telling them how they were going to submit, how they were going to do this and that. Remember that? I seem to remember they were setting up a case for that, and then as soon as the DOJ, you know, the Abrams, I think it was that guy, as soon as he got to a certain point, they stopped it. They killed the investigation. In the same thing that goes along with this, though, why is it okay for police officers and police members of command to get out there and do something political with the left, and it is not okay to do something on their own on the right? Now, Simeonidis is the head of the Democratic Party in Miami-Dade, and in a subsequent tweet, he alleged that the Miami police officer actually committed a crime, quoting a section of state law that makes it a misdemeanor for any employee of the state or any political subdivision to participate in any political campaign for an elective officer while on duty. The Miami New Times says the law is actually a little more complicated. Police officers in Miami are allowed to vote while on duty, so the idea that Ubeda somehow intimidated voters by appearing in uniform is patently absurd. Even the Trump mask, which Simeonidis claims violates the statute about government employees not participating in campaigns while on duty, that isn't a cut-and-dried issue either. Was he participating in a political campaign by wearing the Trump mask? If he was casting his vote, the answer is no. The Miami-Dade Commission on Ethics and Public Trust says local officials and employees have a right to engage in political campaign activities, but they can't use their official authority to influence another person's vote. Political campaign activities may not involve the use of public resources in support of any political campaign or candidate, including office stationery, telephones, computers, or vehicles. That's what they state on their website. Wearing a Trump mask is not public resources, and as it turns out, campaign apparel is perfectly acceptable for voters to wear in Miami-Dade. According to the Florida Division of Elections Polling Place Procedures Manual, voters are allowed to wear apparel with social or political messaging inside polling places. Poll watchers and poll workers are not, but police officers aren't allowed anywhere within a polling place unless they have permission from an election board to be there, or if they are voting themselves. So police are allowed to vote in uniform, and voters are allowed to wear apparel with political messaging. So if Ubeda was actually casting a vote, then no law was broken, though the Miami Police Department has declared that he violated departmental policy by wearing the Trump mask while in uniform. And you get this, we are aware, this is on Twitter, we are aware of the photograph being circulated of a Miami police officer wearing a political mask in uniform. This behavior is unacceptable, a violation of departmental policy, and is being addressed immediately. Then you guys had better never take a political stance. Miami Police Department, chain of command, never, ever. Don't be hypocrites. Everybody's always talking about, well, we've lost trust in our institutions. Well, yeah. Yeah, you have. Yeah, that's happened because of what you keep doing. We keep losing. Right? Who believes the media now? Does anybody believe the media? Some of you do because some of you are still out there thinking that if you wear a mask, somehow you're going to live forever. In the meantime, nobody's asking questions. There's no critical thinking going on with this. It's just fear. What about all these young people who only have now social media? And we're finding out how exactly toxic social media is. And with each and every passing day, more and more people are watching Social Dilemma. And we know that they are subversive. We know that they are censoring. We know that they are politically motivated. Young people, when I was in high school, I didn't give a rip about politics. I didn't have to think about that. Young people shouldn't have to think about that. All these people that get out there and say, well, of course, young people should have a vote at 16. No, they shouldn't. They should be spared that. Being an adult is daunting enough without getting out there and forcing it upon forcing it upon them before it's their time to, before they can really handle it. I kind of have my thing about 18, you know? I've got my questions about, are they ready to go at 18 years old? So, you guys on the left, you got to get past this. This officer's not going to face any charges over this, though plenty of Democrats are demanding it happen. And the First Amendment issues inherent in the case would be fascinating to watch happen in court. And I would be ticked off if he was wearing a Biden mask, but even if he was standing in line to cast his vote. But, I don't think he should be arrested. Not for that. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Bedford Camera and Video, we value freedom as much as our customers do. To this end, Bedford's is your one-stop shop for all of your camera or video needs. Our customer service is based on satisfying our customers with the latest equipment and a team of experts that will ensure you have all you want or need. Go to Bedfords.com. Preserving memories, recording technique, commemorating the victory or the hunt. Since 1974, this is Bedford Camera and Video.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Stocks finished slightly lower on Wednesday as uncertainty over a stimulus package continued. The Dow Jones finished the day down 97 points, erasing a more than 100-point gain from earlier in the day. The S&P 500 dipped 8 points and the NASDAQ fell 31. A week after having their article on Hunter Biden blocked by Twitter, the New York Post's account is still locked. Something FCC Chief of Staff Matthew Berry calls outrageous. He tells Fox News that the company is showing a clear bias.
It's just an outrageous situation when Twitter allows the Supreme Leader of Iran to tweet about armed resistance to the State of Israel, about wiping the State of Israel off the map, essentially committing genocide, yet the New York Post, an American newspaper founded in 1801 by Alexander Hamilton, has been locked out of Twitter for 7 days. bathe.
This is USA Radio News. Despite a stimulus package seemingly stalled, the outlook of the economy is pointed in the right direction, according to White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow. He tells CNBC that while not every data point looks positive, the economy is progressing in the right direction.
The president will be campaigning on middle-income tax cuts, again, to provide incentives for people to return to work, to provide incentives for small businesses to open or reopen and provide new job opportunities. So, you know, 5 months, give us time. This thing, you can't rebuild it overnight. And I think some people are way too pessimistic about the economy. They may be in denial about the economy. But I think the overall outlook has improved immeasurably right now.
While Speaker Pelosi and the Trump administration continue to try to hammer out a deal, Senate Democrats have blocked the GOP stimulus bill from advancing. The $500 billion bill included funding for the Paycheck Protection Program and more supplemental unemployment insurance, but it was blocked from moving forward along party lines, falling short of the 60 votes needed. This is USA Radio News.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly. Fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Live. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Let's talk a little bit about China. Not exactly a favorite topic for the American public right now since the Wuhan coronavirus outbreak. People have been questioning whether or not all the cheap junk from Walmart doesn't come from it with a hidden cost. It's not just the virus. We found out the hard way that most of the vaccines and, the personal protective equipment was made in China. So we have been deindustrialized while we've been depending on China, especially the Rust Belt. Then Tucker Carlson, he and others reported during the early days of the Wuhan coronavirus outbreak that we were dependent on things as simple and rudimentary as penicillin. And that's incredibly important, especially when we begin drilling down further into just how reliant the United States is on China. 97% of all antibiotics and 80% of all active ingredients in American pharmaceuticals come from China. In 2017 alone, the United States imported $4.6 billion in foodstuffs from China. And the press, the corporate press, is pretty silent on this. Because they're sympathetic to the People's Republic of China. And they're sympathetic to virtually all enemies of America and liberty. But there's also a deep presence by the people of China in the United States, both in our media and in our economy, specifically in the real estate market. Now, does it sound crazy to you to think that United States laws allow a hostile foreign power to own both media and land in this country. Well, if you're not alone on this, and while it may sound like we're making a mountain out of a molehill, if you read anything about this, you'll probably be amazed at just how deep the rabbit hole of Chinese influence on the American media and economy goes. This is why Trump came out and said, I'm going to ban TikTok. Now, American prosperity was largely built on a dual foundation, cheap land, expensive labor. Until Ted Kennedy's Immigration Act of 1965 and Ronald Reagan's Amnesty of 1986 and NAFTA opened up the floodgates of third world immigration, this formula basically held firm. When there was not enough labor, employers had to pay more rather than simply importing massive amounts of cheap labor from countries with little in the way of worker protections. The same laws allowing for a massive influx of cheap labor have also destabilized the real estate market. More buyers means demand, means higher prices for those looking to buy a home. And then there's all kinds of social consequences from this. Chief among them is the family formation is more expensive and thus less attainable for the average young American worker in the 21st century than in years past. But then there's the whole thing about allowing foreign nationals and to own real estate in the United States, a practice that is outlawed in a lot of other countries. And where foreign nationals are allowed to own real estate, there are often restrictions on where they can buy and how much they can own. And, you know, nobody needs to have that explained to them. First, the citizens of a nation have first claim on the land there. Second, it is potentially dangerous to allow too much of a nation's land to fall into the hands of foreigners. Pretty simple stuff. Currently, 30 million acres of American farmland is owned by foreign investors, or 2.2% of all American farmland. And for context, that's roughly the size of the Mississippi or Pennsylvania. These are effectively absentee landlords who own some of the best real estate in the United States. For its part, China owned 191,000 acres worth $1.9 billion as of 2019. That may not sound like a lot, but ownership of American farmland has exploded dramatically over the last decade. And there has been a tenfold expansion of Chinese ownership of farmland in the United States in less than a decade. Six states, Hawaii, Iowa, Minnesota, Mississippi, North Dakota, and Oklahoma, currently ban foreign ownership of farmland. Massive Chinese investment in American farmland creates the possibility for food security of the nation in the hands of a hostile foreign power. And then there's the social cost of allowing foreign buyers who have effectively unlimited resources to compete on the real estate market with smaller domestic buyers. Then there's the media. Precious little is written in the major media of the United States about this epidemic of Chinese ownership of American land and real estate. And even less is written about the influence and the leverage that the People's Republic has within corporate media. And this often takes the form of corporate directors of media firms having close financial ties to China that are little known to you. This creates a financial incentive to whitewash the actions of China, both domestically and abroad. Do you remember when the NBA got out there after the Wuhan virus and said, it's not so bad? Remember that? Remember the PR stunts around there? Remember when LeBron James was out there? Yeah. Do you remember the way the media bristled at calling COVID-19 the China virus or the Wuhan coronavirus? Now, this goes beyond simple political correctness. Many of the upper echelons of the corporate media have vested interests in protecting the reputation of China. Then take Carlos Slim, the largest, you know, let's look at the New York Times. He's the largest shareholder of the New York Times, which controls about a third of the board. His other ventures are very close to Chinese firms that are directly tied to the Chinese government. His Giant Motors is engaged in joint operations with China's JAC Motors to penetrate the Latin American market. This was an attempt to work around the Trump administration's aggressive trade policies with China. American Mobile, his mobile phone company, has partnered with Huawei Technologies to sell 5G technology in Colombia. Huawei is a proven threat to American security and wants to end federal restrictions on their access to 5G technology. The Washington Post, owned by Jeff Bezos, and, you know, also he owns Amazon. Many of Amazon's biggest selling products, such as the Echo and the Kindle, are manufactured in China by low-wage, low-skilled labor. Bezos' cheerleading of the Republic of China is much more explicit than that of Slim. The Washington Post includes a supplement called China Watch, which is written directly by the Chinese government's official media arm. And the fact that this is a paid advertising supplement shouldn't calm any worries about the PRC's influence over the Post. It means that Bezos is accepting money from the Chinese government to run official Chinese propaganda in an American newspaper. And then there's CNN. CNN is the property of Warner Media, which is very closely tied to China. They have a $50 million investment deal with the PRC. And specifically, this is an investment in China Media Capital, a private company, in as much as such things exist in China, subject to the censorship of the Chinese government. And it's worth remembering how CNN fawned over the Chinese reaction to the coronavirus in the early days of the pandemic. I could go on and on. NBC, ABC, Bloomberg, you know, all of them. TikTok, you know, all of them controlled or financially diluted by China. And this is important because these are the people who think that they are our betters. And why do they wish to disarm us? Well, wait a minute. That's what communists do, isn't it? That's what Marxists do. Yeah. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
If you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it, you can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S. patented Made in America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
My name is Brian, and I'm 80 years of age. Recently, I was dealing with symptoms of a COVID infection. Initially, I had a fever with chills and a sore throat. Within a short time, the fever subsided, and the sore throat improved, but still lingered. I used several different supplements without success. I then tried Green Meadow Whey, and immediately my sore throat went away. I feel that Green Meadow Whey helped me defeat this COVID infection, and it gives me a noticeable lift in my energy.
Lactoferrin is a naturally occurring nutrient in whey protein. It has been shown to have potent antiviral activity. Lactoferrin binds to a virus, blocking its ability to enter the cell. It also stimulates antiviral interferon production. Green Meadow Whey contains 300 to 600 milligrams of non-denatured lactoferrin per scoop. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or go to greenmeadowwhey.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Live, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by Aero Precision.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Check them out at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. You, the people of America, have made it abundantly clear that you value your Second Amendment right, especially during uncertain times. That's why it was put in place in the first place. We're faced with the COVID-19 pandemic and then the widespread civil unrest, and you have responded by buying firearms in record numbers. Through September, the FBI has processed a record-setting 28,826,449 total national instant criminal background check system checks for 2020. With 3 months of the year still left, 2020 has seen 456,699 more checks than any previous year already. And in August, the NSSF estimated that roughly 5 million Americans purchased a firearm for the first time in 2020. Now, from academia, we have a trio of law professors from the George Mason University Antonin Scalia School of Law have released articles that highlight the importance of the right to armed self-defense during tumultuous periods and explain how the history of the Second Amendment makes it clear that it was intended to preserve this right under the present conditions. Professor and Executive Director of Scalia's Laws, Liberty, and Law Center, David E. Bernstein, wrote in an article titled "The Right to Self-Defense in the Light of Law Enforcement Abdication." As the name suggests, he examines the critical role the Second Amendment plays when, as has been seen throughout the country, local authorities are unable or unwilling to uphold the law and maintain order. Bernstein presents a direct challenge to those who have argued that modern policing has made the Second Amendment obsolete. Some of the many examples of this argument that he cites are laughable in light of what occurred this summer. As an example, the professor points out that an amicus brief filed on behalf of 10 major cities in the U.S. Supreme Court case, McDonald v. Chicago, contended, in more urban areas that have the benefit of concentrated and highly trained police force, the need for individuals to arm themselves for self-defense is less compelling. Another example he uses is a passage from a book by NYU Law School Brennan Center for Justice President Michael Waldman. And Waldman argued against respect for the individual right to keep and bear arms by claiming 21st century America differs profoundly from the time of the framers today. Today, we rely on professionalized police departments to protect us from crime and unrest. Bernstein counters that the looting and rioting and general mayhem on display in the summer of 2020 in cities throughout the United States, often unimpeded by law enforcement, buttresses the argument that a proper right to armed self-defense must include provision for law-abiding Americans to protect themselves outside their homes. Now, following his thesis, he meticulously documents local officers' abdication of their law enforcement responsibility and in localities throughout the country. And the well-cited tract should serve as an indispensable compilation of official inadequacy and neglect in the wake of 2020 civil unrest. In his conclusion, Bernstein explains that mainstream leftists who had previously been strongly on the rely exclusively on police and not on a personal firearm for protection bandwagon seem unwilling or unable to defend the importance, competence, and efficacy of the police, and that therefore there does not seem to be much of a constituency left for the argument that the right to armed self-defense has been rendered anachronistic by the development of professional law enforcement. Professor Nelson Lund authored a item titled The Future of the Second Amendment in a Time of Lawless Violence. In this article, the professor takes on what he views as some courts' exceedingly narrow cost-benefit analysis when judging the constitutionality of a gun control measure. And Lund contends, a constitutionally proper understanding of the public interest should make courts especially skeptical of gun regulations. In Lund's view, preservation of the leftist order is the properly understood benefit of, of the liberal order. Actually, using the word correctly, I substitute leftist whenever I say liberal. Of the liberal order is the properly understood benefit of a well-armed populace, and that the Second Amendment is an integral part of the U.S. founders' design. And elaborating on this point, he notes, the right to keep and bear arms and to use them when appropriate is a vital element of the liberal order that our founders handed down to us. They understood that those who hold political power will always be tempted to reduce the freedom of those they rule, and that many of the ruled will be tempted to trade their liberty for promises of security. Those temptations are apt to be especially alluring when widespread criminal violence threatens both liberty and security. They may be even more alluring when such violence takes the form of sustained and repeated riots that reflect a serious breakdown of the social fabric. To bolster his argument, Lund draws upon the sources that were familiar to the founders, including the work of Thomas Hobbes, John Locke, and William Blackstone. And if you bring those sources to bear in the thesis, he says, or he finds, even when there's good reason to think that a regulation would cause a net reduction in deaths and injuries, such calculations are not a sufficient basis on which to create even a presumption of constitutionality. The principles of our regime, articulated in Locke and Blackstone and confirmed in the Second Amendment, have two related implications. First, I do not lose my right to the means of protecting myself merely because others are vulnerable to violent attacks, whether through their own choice or through bad luck. Beyond that, however, the rejection of Hobbesian absolutism in favor of political self-government depends, for its ultimate success, on citizens who possess the moral temper befitting a free people. Citizens who arm themselves are recognizing and insisting that their lives and safety are not a gift from the government, and that they claim responsibility for their own freedom and security. And then in closing this, he addresses the topic of civil unrest and how it relates to his argument. He states, the single most foundational principle on which our liberal regime was founded is the inherent right of self-defense against violent assaults. The Second Amendment's core purpose is to insulate that right from improper government interference. But protecting that right also serves a broader political purpose. An armed citizenry displays a spirit of courage and self-reliance on which a genuine self-government depends. That spirit should be encouraged more than ever in times of civil unrest, and especially when governments have responded passively to mob violence. This goes on and on. I'm going to have to reach out to these guys because I like this stuff. It boils down to this. You know better. You've always known better. People who've been carrying guns for 10 years now, they've always known better. You know, the Supreme Court, I don't remember what the case was where the Supreme Court said, well, you don't have a, the police can't protect you, and they're not obligated to protect you, the individual. And, you know, that comes into play. That comes into play. Your life was not a gift from the government. Your life was a gift from your parents and God. And as such, you have a right to protect it. It's almost religious. I am Christian. I do believe certain things. And at the same time, I also believe that it is expected of me to live out my life without having it taken from me. Therefore, I carry a gun. I have options. It's interesting that there are some academics out there talking this way, and it doesn't make... Well, no, it's not interesting. I mean, I've been talking for 2 or 3 days now about how the fake stream media has become basically, you know, they're Democrats. They're elites. They're establishment. It's not really surprising at all. But it's out there. It's the same thing as all this corruption that hides in plain sight. This stuff is in plain sight. You just got to go look for it. And just so you don't have to, I'll do it for you. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dean Weingarten. Hour number 3 is inbound. This is Lock and Load.
Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders.
Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th,
Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Like a piece of Americana, this is Nighthawk Custom. Completing Browning's vision of the 1911, Nighthawk Custom is not a mass production facility. Each custom touch is machined to an exacting standard, with the heart and soul of each craftsman that takes it through the process. Traditional or tactical, Nighthawk Custom delivers a weapon you can trust with your life. Custom to your specification or ready to ship with the reserve line. For their complete selection, go to NighthawkCustom.com. Nighthawk Custom. One gun, one gunsmith.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.